This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd.
Hey everybody, are you excited? Yeah, the screen said it and then it went away right as I pointed at it. Weird. Okay, I'm Elijah. I'm with Colorado Springs Comic Con. You guys feeling good? We have some amazingly talented voice actors and actresses coming up here. Voice artists? I'll use that term. But to get you guys warmed up, I want you to give me all your favorite cartoon character voice on the count of three. One, two, three. No. I didn't say a name. Make the sound that this character makes. One, two, three. There's a lot of Pikachu fans. Okay, I like it. I respect it. Okay, everyone make your best anime character noise. Good. All right, and then now let's all say, gotta catch them all on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. Your moderator, Iggy from Project Nerd.
Look at that, I'm two for two without tripping. Thank you, Elijah. So, awesome. I think everybody here is really excited as we have some amazing and talented voices. And as much as I'd love to sit here and talk to you all the time, I'm sure you don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear some of those creative ones. So without further ado, I'll bring out all three of our guests. We have Brittany Karbowski, Veronica Taylor, and Charles Fleischer. So some very fun voice talent, and I'm hoping we'll hear a little bit
of
it.
Take that light out of my eyes because my retinas, I'm going to need them
for
later.
They're going
to burn. All right, so we're going to adjust some lights here, and we'll welcome all three of y'all to Colorado Springs.
Thank you for having me. It's really
good. Yeah, we're excited to have y'all out here. So we have some microphones in front of you, and as we talked about back there,
awesome.
It's going to be a Q&A, so we'll get some questions from the audience going here in one second.
I will unplug that myself. If they can't do
We're getting the light there.
A. Seriously. We do the A, you do the Q.
Yes. They're handling the Q.
Thank you very much.
We're handling the A.
Yes. Thank
you. Round of applause for our technicians back there.
Serious?
There we go.
Bravissimo.
Awesome. Serious. Well, perfect. Well, Brittany, I'll start with you. I had my team help me with a little research. I can't say I did it all, but I hear that you were actually discovered through your performance in a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. I was.
Okay.
I was Janet in the Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was 18. I'd actually been doing musical theater professionally since I was 13, but I finally was old enough to be in that show. It was a local show they did around town, and it was an all-fetish version, and you had to be an adult. And it was really enjoyable, and I was in the show with a bunch of other voice actors, and I didn't know this at the time. And it was Greg Ayers and Chris Patton and Chris Ayers and Monica Rial and Mariela Ortiz, and we were all in the show together. And Matt Greenfield, one of the founders of 80 Vision Films, came to see the show. And then afterwards was like, I want you to come in. And I was like, cool, am I going to sing? And he's like, no. And I did bit parts in Gantz, and he was like, scream like you're getting stabbed to death, go. And I did, and he liked it. And then now I'm here.
There you go. All right, and Veronica, you are Ash. Like, you are everywhere you go, you're known as Ash. How does
yeah,
that feel
true.
As Ash has become like one of the most iconic anime characters there is?
Yeah, actually, most recognizable next to Pikachu, I would say. I did Ash for the first 8 years of the show, and I've never had a job that long in my life, which is pretty incredible. And to play a character like Ash, who's so positive and energetic, it was incredible for me. Changed my perspective on everything, actually. What is it like? In my real life, it doesn't have any impact at all. But in how I think about things, it has a great impact. Coming to a show like this and seeing people dress up like a character I love so much, it's really incredible, and it's quite an honor to even have gotten the opportunity to play that character and kind of bring it to life in English. Because the Japanese is really the best of all, and so to be able to kind of fill in the sneakers for the English version has been pretty neat.
So you're subbed over dubbed then?
So I'm just No, isn't sub? Is doesn't
well, you
sub
said Japanese just... was the best, so I didn't know. So you prefer to watch it with the subs or the?
Oh no, I haven't watched it. Like I don't sit down and watch it.
Okay.
But I know because the influence of the voice on my work and just seeing it when I have seen it, I think the original Pokemon is the best. Plus, they all record together, and it's pretty amazing.
Definitely.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's all, you're just alone.
In your own
and so
studio.
You're really using your imagination a lot more.
For sure.
Because you have to imagine what people are saying and what they might be saying to you and, you know.
It's a one-way conversation, but
yeah,
filling
in the gaps.
Yeah, and
you're making it two-way.
There you go.
In your head. Yeah.
All right. And Charles, you in probably one of the most unique animated, it really kind of, we didn't see animated mixed with real world when
I would just like to remind you that when you say the word unique, you do not need to modify it by most unique.
Most, okay.
Unique is unique. You cannot modify unique.
That's very true.
I will continue to bust your sleeves because you have none.
I appreciate it. And more importantly, my team that is here will also appreciate it when they hear about it. So they will definitely
I
be
think
very
you
pleased.
Need not worry about the grammatical aspects. However, to continue with your statement, Roger Rabbit was unique, yes, and were you going to add to that?
I was just kind of groundbreaking. Like, it changed, like, there wasn't much animation mixed with live action at that time.
It, in many ways, stimulated the animation business. And I don't actually, as opposed to fictitiously, consider myself a voice actor. If you're blind, all acting is voice acting. Mm-hmm. I do lots of on-camera things as well. So, to me, it's just acting. And in some ways, just being a voice is more difficult because you can't rely on your face. I mean, you can communicate something with just looking, but in voice acting, in quotes, which is a really unique form of acting.
Yes,
definitely.
Okay, no one picked with that one. All right, I can see I'm gonna go for my solo trip on this.
I'm in with you.
I know that. Okay.
All right. Well,
does why anybody do we... here have a W in their name? Is your name Wu? Thank you. Okay, it's a pretty lively group.
There you go.
Did you guys come in from some kind of death parade, or are you here just the showers are near the curtains and shake it out, get
well,
a little energy.
Let's liven them up a little
bit. Come on, wake up.
There we go.
I do think though that most of us consider ourselves actors,
yeah.
And the saying voice actor is very limiting because we've all had. Acting is what it's all about, and we've all had training for being an actor, and then using your voice for specific projects is very specific, but you're still an actor. And I think a lot of times it gets canceled out or kind of lessened because people think, oh, are you a voice actor? Have you ever thought of being an actor? I hear that all the time.
It's definitely in the hierarchy of things. It's a lesser part of the world. However, we don't care about that. We're here to ask and answer questions from these people who came to this panel, which is very, very wonderful, and I'm very grateful, except for W.
Well, let's liven up the group a little bit by getting them to ask us some questions.
If you stand on your head, you'll be M.
All right, who's got some questions for the awesome talent up here?
W.
Well, yes. W does, there we go. Yes.
Don't you feel, just supporting your statement of being an actor, that you're still, when you're doing your voices, you may be doing...
Turn that way, so just direct it up here, bro.
You may feel more that you're still acting when you're using your voice. Mm-hmm. Your face is still in action. No one can see it. So I think, especially with all your characters, the younger generations with Ash and such, how do you feel your impact has been when you do travel, do you get a lot of satisfaction? I know you said you enjoy the individual who dressed up and such, but is that something that keeps you in that field and keeps you wanting to maybe expand with your voices?
Yes, and no. And I know they feel similar with a little maybe and a sprinkling of What did he say? I think a lot of it just depends on the story that's being told. If you're part of a story that's effective and affects people's lives, then that is more rewarding than just doing something for the money. No pictures, bro. I'm just kidding. Have you ever heard an actor say no pictures? Just make sure it's in focus, which is suck off backwards. I'll believe it when I see it. That's my answer.
Yeah, I think that's really true. The one thing is, very often as an actor, you don't have a choice. You wait for auditions to come, and you hope you get everything that you audition for. And the greatness is when you can work on something that you care about. I mean, when we, to use Pokemon as an example, when we were cast in that, we didn't even know if anyone would ever watch it. We didn't even believe it was going on TV. But it was a great project to work on, so everyone just dove in. And you give 100% on whatever you're working on. Like, I'm recording a psychology textbook right now. I give 100% on that, like I do when I work on a cartoon. It's just the fact that you're working and someone somewhere will hear it, that you don't want to waste their time. You want to, you know. And does it keep you working? For me, I love being an actor, so I work on so many different types of things.
I feel like one of the things when I started doing voice acting that I missed about musical theater was that immediate response that you get from the audience on stage. You know that you've said something funny or you've said something sad or happy because the way that people react. And I find that when you come to shows and you meet your fans, that's the closest you can get to that type of reward, that you actually, like, somebody cared and somebody enjoyed it. And it's extremely humbling.
Yeah, because we work alone in a box. So you don't ever know if anyone, yeah, how they react.
That's
to
what
it.
Dead people say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that kind of work you may not want to get.
Or ventriloquist dummies work alone in the box. Or crackers
in a box.
Maybe work in
crackers.
A box. Cereal, they work together in a box.
And we have another question over
and
here.
Jack in the box.
He's in a box.
He's in and out of it.
So I have a question about for all of you. Have you ever felt like discouraged doing any of this work? Like, if you ever just looked at all these lines and been like, I don't think I can do this. Has there ever been something like that before?
Of course not. Have you ever felt discouraged going to the bathroom and producing nothing? No. You say, I'm going to go back in there and I'm going to make something of this. And that's what you do. Whether it's shit or not. Forgive my language, but sometimes you have to go there.
Literally
and physically.
Yes.
And literarily.
Well, that's if you read in the bathroom.
Well, Henry Miller is not always advised, but if you do, be careful.
I have been not necessarily discouraged, but just challenged by parts. When I first did Black Star, that was my first boy character ever. When I auditioned for it, it was kind of a joke. I thought they accidentally attached it to the sides. So I just did something ridiculous. I didn't even know anything about that character. I didn't have a picture. I was like, oops, they put a boy on here. I'm gonna mess with them. And I booked it. So when I was driving up there to Dallas, that 5-hour drive, I was like, I really hope I can make this happen. Because I was just, I don't even know. I didn't know I could even do that. But also, I am an actor. I consider myself a professional. And I went in and just did the best job that I possibly could. Because I do love the character and I do care about it, you know. But yes, I have been challenged and things can be daunting. I think everybody has that in their life about something, you know.
Let us look at the word encourage. Encourage, discourage. The suffix being courage. Courage. That's what this is all about. It's the courage to pursue a career that you are told is difficult to achieve. It's the courage to defeat those who wish to take your place. It is the courage to come to a panel like this and ask a question about being discouraged. That was motivational from my point of view. I encourage you to find the courage within your hearts to seek out upon the day to find a Comic-Con that's not in a mall. Mall-a-con.
Veronica, did you have an answer for that?
Well, I just think one of the most difficult things about being an actor is the time in between work, and the discouragement comes when you have a lot of auditions and you're not booking things, which is what, you know, the percentages are low, that you'll have a lot to try to get and you don't get everything. So I think that's the thing, to just keep going. But, I mean, as Charles is saying, you, whatever you choose to do in life, you have to just pursue it. And so you can't really give up, because especially being an actor, it's not all about you. It's how you fit in with the group, how your voice, your face, whatever fits in. You might be too short for the role, and that's, they might have liked your acting, but you don't suit the person they've already cast. So
pursue, from pursue, as in to persuade, as opposed to evade or persuutala.
Persuutala.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, I was thinking that too.
I encourage you not to say that.
Not in the mall.
Not in this mall.
No. I think we have a. I think we have another question down here.
A mall and the night visitors.
A mall, yes.
What would be some of your most embarrassing moments in voice acting?
Answering that question would definitely be at the top of my list.
I had this one time that I was recording. I think I was recording Heaven's Law's Property, I'm imagining. We were doing a song called Falling Down. We were just joking around in between it because we couldn't really figure out the all this stuff wasn't done on it. So we just started singing random things. Started singing a song about peeing in a coffee cup for no reason. And right when I walk out of the studio to like walk into the bathroom, this huge group of executives come in from Funimation and like their uppers, and I'm like, gonna pee in my coffee cup, pee in my, and I'm like walking into the bathroom and I didn't see them, and everybody's like, Brittany. And it, yeah, it was a good, it was a good moment in life. I was very embarrassed. I think they thought I was really gonna go in there and pee in the coffee cup.
As you're carrying it with you.
Same thing happened to me. Except for the pee part.
And you were just in the coffee cup?
Yeah.
I wasn't even in the room.
So embarrassing. I don't know if I have anything embarrassing. It's all kind of, you have to let it go, literally. Because you have to be able to just do weird things and say things that you wouldn't normally say in real life, and kind of, I don't know. I think I kind of jump outside myself in a way.
Embarrassed, to M like embellish, Barris like Chuck Barris.
Chuck Barris.
As to bear the ass.
It's all a game show.
I'm embarrassed when I'm not embarrassed. Embarrassment is just a sign that you're not prepared to deal with the reality of the now.
That's embarrassing.
Well, man up.
Yeah, be.
Be the be. All that you can be.
Yeah.
In Toyota.
Do we have another question down here?
This is more of a comment. You were saying a few minutes ago.
We're doing questions, not comments.
Well, I'm just.
You know, comment panel is over there.
Okay, Roger Rabbit.
You have to go.
I'm not Roger Rabbit. I'm Charles Fleischer. You're not like red shirt guy with a tattoo. You're red shirt guy with a tattoo and military hair and a. And a circus beard.
Well, the hair was an accident, but...
We'll talk about that later.
You were saying that you find voice acting to be, you know, harder, you know, than typical acting. I think for a lot of people, myself at the very least, I don't know how other people feel about it, but I enjoy finding the voice actors in anime and whatever else I'm watching and looking for them. And, you know, the ones I enjoy, you know, it's fun to find actors or actresses that can do with their voice what other people have to do with their face and convey whatever emotions they're going through during whatever time they're going through in the series. You know, most actors have to use their face or body movements to do that, whereas a voice actor only has their voice to use, and it's fun to find that.
And so, also, the we don't have rehearsal. So the great thing about being in a movie, usually you get at least a run-through. And being on stage, you get 6 weeks of rehearsal, or 2 weeks if you're doing stock or something. But there's no rehearsal, so it's all very much in the moment where you're bringing all that out to try to bring as much reality as you can to it.
No rehearsals?
I don't ever have rehearsals for anything. No. I've I used to work on Ninja Turtles, and we did have a read-through for that, but every other show I do, there's no read-throughs.
So only rehearsals with reptiles.
Do you bring your own, or do you have reptiles that are at
I
the
have
studio?
No reptiles. I don't believe in captive animals, but if I did, I would consider a reptile.
I've had a few as companions.
I have squirrels in my backyard.
I was going to say, but the squirrels, I've seen the squirrels.
I feed my squirrels and birds.
Oh, wow.
That's the kind of man I am. I encourage everyone to do
you
that.
Feed them.
To pursue the feeding of squirrels. You okay, man? You're going to cover that lens when you cough. Cause
you don't want that on. It looks
phlegm,
like it's raining in here.
Phlegm. It could be like a beauty phlegm, so give it a shot.
You know, what's amazing, though, is that you can find people now. Because before, you know, long ago, if you liked a movie star, you'd have to look in the newspaper and see what came out about them. And nowadays, you can be sitting here on your phone and just look up on IMDb and see what that is. But it's interesting that you do search people out, and you can find out so much more about what they do and
what crimes they've committed. Does anyone think that that is really the woods behind us? Because it is.
There are ticks in there.
Ticks are bad. Watch out for them, yeah. Rocky Mountain fever.
That's right.
Freaks.
All right, I think we have another question over here.
This is for Veronica, and I was just gonna ask about how you feel about the new Pokemon, like Sun and Moon and all that. I know you're not Ash voice acting as right now, but how do you feel of how it's going?
I am amazed that Pokemon has gone on this long. I think it's pretty incredible. I don't watch the show, and I haven't really since we were replaced, only because it made me really sad. And so I just haven't watched it. So I don't have a comment specifically about the storyline or anything, but I am a fan of the original animation. I like how simple it is. So I know that the characters have changed. Ash's eyes are brown. I think that the way it was animated originally, it allowed you to escape into the show. It allowed you to fill in more with your imagination than the show does now, from what I've seen. And I do prefer that. There was something about Pokemon specifically that so many kids kind of, they did key into it and could be on the adventure, whether you were playing at school or watching at home. And that, I think, is really important. So,
what is Pokemon poking? I know that's an insensitive question.
I never thought about that. It's kind of like the hornet's nest.
Seems wrong to me. I have a child's program called Pokey Anything.
Even right.
Pocahontas like sounds wrong now.
All right, we have another.
I don't know. Mom.
It must be
another question
the
back
pokey.
Here.
You, the my.
Okay. Pocket. Poking the monsters.
Yeah, pocket. Pokey, thanks.
Yeah.
Kamishu. Mutakasiara Tashiano, you know. Brass in the pokey. Chrissy Hine.
Yes.
Was that a question from the Whistler?
How many?
No. I can answer that. The Whistler.
Go ahead.
Okay, I got a question for the two female characters. Do you even like playing the male roles at all? Because I think you guys sound a lot awesomer.
Who's asking this?
Right there.
Oh, I don't. Could you stand up so we can see your costume?
Do you like playing the female?
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, how do you feel about doing
the male
voice?
Are you a panda?
No.
Bendy with a twist.
Oh.
It looks great.
Benji.
Bendy.
Oh, that too. Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's, you know, panda, you're a penguin, you're whatever you said you were.
I love playing the boy characters. I like playing things that I couldn't do on stage. I could play a little boy on stage, you know, Peter Pan style. But I mean, like, this is, like, Blackstar is a tough boy with, like, muscles. And, you know, like, an actual, like, you know, or, like, Pride is, like, a homunculus, like, creature. Like, there's so much fun to be had in a challenging role that is very unlike you. I like playing, like, villains and things that are not... I spend my day treating people like I want to be treated. I like to be able to have that outlet to go over there and just be awful.
Yeah.
But because it's not a real person that I'm being awful to. So I actually enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Lot.
And a lot of times boy characters are They're just bolder and they get to do more than a girl character, which I hope changes. But it is, it's really fun. And I play a lot of sports anyway, so then there are very few girl characters I've played who have been sporty. So yeah, I like it. And the same thing, being able to play something that's so different from yourself, but still finding something that you can relate to.
They don't write a lot of girl parts for older men, but...
No. But you'd be up for
but
it.
But I'm open to it. Yeah. I played a woman in a Christopher Coppola movie, an Indian woman, and I'm not hung up. I got an X and Y chromosome. I'm ready to go either way.
There you go.
I'm a girly girl, too, let me tell you, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
I am one full-ass woman. I'm all woman and I'm all yours. Hope that testosterone ain't gonna be a problem.
All right, do we have another question over here?
So this is for all three of you. What's kind of the process behind coming up with a new character voice? Do one of the higher-ups tell you, oh, I want something like this? Or do they just kind of say, you know, kind of do what you think is right and we'll go from there?
Do you want to go first?
Certainly. Well, I think when you're doing a character for an animated character, pardon the redundancy, it's often dependent on the size and shape of the character. If the character is really gigantic, then a small voice would not be appropriate. And, you know, you shape the voice so that it sounds like it's coming out. I've seen many instances where the character voice doesn't seem like it's organically emanating. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, if it's not an animation, it's based on what the character does and what the character says. So, you know, like a little girl probably wouldn't. I'm Tina. And I want to play with you, short pants. Now that might work for a demon girl, but just for a pretty girl, it'd have to be more like, I'm Dima, or I'm going to lick your tennis shoes. But first, you're going to have to shave your beard.
Oh my God.
Or I'll pluck it out one hair at a time. Here, rock a poochie pie.
I'm gonna have nightmares.
You mean you don't already? Well, this might be just the thing. Because right now, this is my nightmare. Same panel over and over again. The only thing that changes is the encouraging woman. Some days she wears checks, and some days plaid.
Do you prefer the plaid?
I prefer the plain plaid as opposed to the Chinese checkers.
Mm.
Thanks for
it's
the setup.
Mahjong.
Mahjong, yes. Jewish yes. Dominoes, by way of Chinese architecture.
Yes, yes.
One bam, two crack, east-west.
I'm not a Mahjong player, but I know what you mean.
Neither my mama yeah. plays.
One thing that when you get an audition for something, often they'll show you the picture and then give you a little description. I don't think one of the higher-ups comes into it until later, once you maybe get a call back. So usually you have to kind of come up with the ideas on your own and figure out how you think the voice might be. Sometimes you get a reference and they want you to match, if it's anime, they want you to match the original Japanese character or whatever language it was in originally. So sometimes you have more room to play with creating something and some less, if that makes sense. Because you want to get it
sense.
That same. Does it? Yeah. But yeah, does it make
more or
dollars?
Less.
Moralist dollars.
I think it was an A-plus answer.
Thank you.
More than.
Thank you.
I second that. It depends on the show. I mostly do anime. But like Blackstar I came up with on my own. Wendy from Fairy Tail I came up with on my own. But like Migi from Parasite, they had the actual Japanese producer in there and they wanted it to sound like Migi, like from their Migi. So they're like, do your best English version of that. So it just depends on, you know, what it is. Sometimes you get to go in and do something, and sometimes you don't. Like, Hitch, your shirt, Attack on Titan. I was told which way they wanted her to sound, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So
yeah, and it depends on if the people are there when you go in for an audition. Oftentimes now you're sending your audition in. You're not in the room with anyone. But if you are lucky enough to be in with the people who are casting you, who work for the show, or the casting director, working for them. They can tweak it while you're there, and you can come up with different voices. You always start with something and then go from there.
Or if you're auditioning for someone that you know has committed a crime and you have evidence on that person, you don't really have to be that good.
No. Just drop a little of your knowledge.
You sure? Is that you in front of the bank, Freddie? You a flipper? Come on in.
Very good point.
Another question.
Point taken, maybe.
Would you each please do a couple lines from your most as your most renowned characters?
Most renowned.
I don't know. You want to start?
Sure. Who's ready?
Well, Wendy sounds like this. She says sorry all the time.
Blackstar sounds like this. Likes to talk about, like, peeing on graves and stuff.
It's hard to...
Sorry.
It's always hard for me to come up with stuff off the top of my head like that.
Yeah, and then there's, like, Kami from My Hero just kind of sounds like me, but, like, sexy.
Sexy you.
Yeah, Misaka sounds like me.
I would say Ash Ketchum always sounds like this, kind of, unless he's sad. And then Amelia from Slayers is up pretty high. She loves everything. I can't remember any other characters.
Oh, April O'Neil sounds kind of like I do, although she's a lot smarter than I am, I will say.
Boy, I could never do a voice for my character, but I'll tell you something, your short pants are not really cut for your anatomy.
Hey, Roger, that guy's hanging out where he shouldn't be.
Gonna kill him, maybe. Hey, boss, you want me to take the little off the top or top of the little?
Last one, nice. I just made up. Thank you very much.
So we got
our next trick.
Yes.
I was going to say we have time for a couple more questions. Our famed red shirt tattooed man down here is going to.
This is his second question. And the first one was all about himself. So what do we expect this time? Some soliloquy about your arm?
This is a double question for Veronica.
Yes.
It's both about Pokemon.
Okay.
One, how old do you think Ash is?
Okay.
And the second is... how do you feel about the censorship between the American and the Japanese versions of the show? Because that's a very famous example of bad American censorship on a show.
Do you mean censorship like calling a sushi ball a hamburger, like that? Or is there other... What's the jelly donut, right? Or that certain things have been banned?
Like images being removed, like the images of guns or weapons, them sizing things up or down, skirts, shirts.
I don't know how much of that has changed. I haven't seen a lot of the original Japanese episodes. Anything that was banned in America, I have not seen. So I don't know. I didn't see the original to know, to have an opinion on whether it should or should not have been banned. I also know that with on broadcasting TV and also in the children's block on Saturday morning, many things could not be shown. So standards and practices in the United States is very different from other countries, and specifically Japan in this case. So One Piece, for instance, was on, Four Kids did that, and I don't even know how that show got on Saturday morning because so much had to be rotoscoped out. You can't have guns and children's shows. So I think the takeaway from that is that at least we got to see the show, and now you can find it uncut somewhere else. But I'm very much against, I'm against violence in kids' TV shows, I'm against guns, I'm against any of that kind of stuff, because I don't think the more kids see of that type of thing, you start to become desensitized to it, and I think that's dangerous. So I'm up for all of that stuff being changed so that you can follow the story, and then if you miss that because you know it's been cut out, that you can find it as an adult or an older person, meaning an older child, I guess. Watch it with your parents, maybe, so that you can discuss it. I know that Four Kids had to change things or it wouldn't have gone on TV. I think in 1998, they underestimated how much
Americans knew or wanted to know about Japanese culture and how much it would fly, in a sense. So I think now there's definitely no need to do it. And so many people said, that's not a hamburger, and they found out about sushi. So sometimes that's a good thing, that it causes you to question it, and then you search it out on your own. Do you want to comment on that, and then I'll get to the 10 thing?
I get where you're coming from, but I mean, I've seen plenty of children's shows that aren't necessarily censored, like one that was on Disney back in the
90s. Disney's on cable.
Gargoyles. Gargoyles.
Oh, but that was on WB, wasn't it?
Yeah. For a while. And they showed firearms, like with the cops and things like that.
Okay.
And, you know, there was, you know, obviously fighting, you know, there was gang violence.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's a different
That was in the afternoon also. Saturday morning children's programming was very specific. And they also even had an education element to it that you had to also fit that in. So maybe some of these things, if they had been shown in the 3 to 6 hour on the WB, would have been different. I don't work for a network, so I don't know the specifics, but I do know that there are things that you could not put on Saturday morning. And then Pokemon later went on to the afternoon time slots also, but I think because they were showing them in rerun, you couldn't change it by then. So I do know that it's quite different afternoon and morning for that. But anyway.
Astro Boy, you know, yeah. That used to be called Sphincter Child.
In Japanese.
Yeah. Sphincter Child.
Yes. But it is interesting thing. I think a lot of people are frustrated by that, and we didn't have any choice. We had to say what was in the script.
I was just wondering how you felt about it. And
yeah.
As to the Ash's age thing,
yeah.
I've heard theories that Ash is in a coma and he's still 10. I was wondering if you...
Well, I'm really hoping that's true, and that when Ash wakes up, I get to be the voice of Ash. I mean, like, oh man, you wouldn't believe the dream I just had. But I do think that Ash as a 10-year-old is kind of the 10-year-old inside all of us. And there's a wonderful thing about being 10, where you can always go back to what did you want to be when you grew up, and you don't have a lot of responsibility at that time, and you can really dream. And then as an adult, to go back and think, what did you want when you were 10? And even popping back into the show as an adult and watching it, you're jumping right back into that adventure. So I do think he captures that 10-year-old that's in all of us. So I don't have a problem with him staying 10. I kind of like it. It frees him up from a lot of other responsibilities. And
be careful how you say capturing a 10-year-old.
Well, it's Pokemon, man.
But they could pull that right out, and you could be a lot of questions.
That's how many have I captured?
In that case, I think
I always set
that's
them
the
free.
Last question.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's what Rapunzel said.
I was going to say that.
Do we have another question? Does anyone
did
else
we have?
Any?
We had one more right here, and then we're
question.
Then we've got to wrap
anybody
up.
Anybody that hasn't asked a question, not that these two guys aren't writing a thesis, and they both have a doctorate in animation questions. We know that. I've seen your credentials.
All right, the guy back there has a
question. Okay, we'll do one more back
what
there.
What was your question? We'll answer it as you're doing. Have any of us ever directed anything?
I have not directed.
I've directed things, but I'm not going to direct my answer to you. Because you've had 3 questions, and Professor Shnanovich has had 12. And this guy back here, Hawaiian Frank, is just waiting to ask something. Bring it on, bro.
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I came in late, so I don't know if somebody asked the question or not. But
that's
okay. So are all the animation or for anime jobs in Texas, or where are they at?
What?
Where are the anime jobs? Are they all in Texas?
Oh, I thought he said sexy. That's what.
Or Canada. Or Canada.
Most of
anime
them.
Anime sexy. Get out of this room. In Texas.
Funimation's in Texas.
Funimation and Sentai Filmworks are in Texas, but in Okratron. But then there's a lot of places in LA, and there's a couple places in New York as well.
Yeah. I'm working on a project now, Aria. I'm in LA recording some, and then I go to New York and record it. And I think... I forget if it's ADV or who's doing that, but they're in some other state also. But I think the majority of it is, now it's all, a lot of it's in Texas, but Texas, Los Angeles, New York, the majority of it.
As long as it's in the local galactic cluster, I'm
down
with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. You guys, thank you so much for coming. We're all here all weekend.
Thank you very much. Yes. A big round of applause for this crowd. Professor Schnanovitz and his assistant, Magro. Encouragement lady. Photography girl. The wondrous questions of W and his upside down M. And the people that didn't say stuff but have a crazy look.
Again, as they pointed out, they are here all weekend long, so you can catch them on the floor, obviously. One more round of applause for Brittany Veronica Charles.
Visit our booths.
Thank you all. You enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here in Colorado Springs.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And dinner is on Professor Schnobnick and his assistant Flanders. They're going to be reciting their new paper. I was there, but I don't remember.